Welcome to Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Randstad Malaysia has released the 2022 Market Outlook and Salary Snapshot Report. Takes a look at the economic climate and landscape of what Malaysia is going to be shaping up for next year. Joining us is Fahad Naim, the Head of Operations at Randstad Malaysia. Fahad, let's talk a little bit more about the report, some of the key highlights and perhaps some of the key salient points that you want to share with us today.
Thanks for having me here, Ibrahim. So yes, you know, we conduct every year different type of survey, especially addressing to the employers and employee markets. So this is one of the outlook that we have released this year. So it studied a little bit done about, you know, the demands in the market. And most of the data we collect is basically different surveys that we conduct. But this one is specifically the outlook that we have released recently. It's a first-hand observation from our specialist industry consultant, which has been interacting with different HR leaders. And these HR leaders are working from, you know, leading companies from global MNCs to startups in Malaysia. And a common thing which we hear from all the employers or all the HR industry leaders, is Malaysia still remains a candidate short market. And that shortage is going to continue to increase next year. There's been discussions about a couple of industries are even booming faster than the other because of the, you know, digitalization push and, you know, remote and hybrid working. We see a significant growth coming into IT, manufacturing, FMCG, or banking and financial services sector.
We want to understand a little bit more as well about what the differences are for this year versus the previous years. Anything that jumps out that you might want to highlight?
There is an expectations from employer. There's a different talent and skill requirements, which is, you know, we have never seen that before. Most of these companies, they were forced or pushed to, you know, speed up their digital transformation agenda. So these companies are looking for more tech-savvy people. You know, there were companies were pushed to invest lot more in technology. Even though these were not technology companies, were more non-tech companies as well. So we see there's a shift in the expectation from employer as well. And more companies are looking for more tech-savvy people who have a bit of a more technical understanding, a better in communication. There's more discussions about 4.0 industry revolutions or industry automations than ever before. So I think it's more the demand and expectations has changed, especially in some of the industries that I mentioned who has really pushed the digital transformation agenda.
You know, that's quite interesting. When you talk about companies that are not normally associated with tech, is now trying to find human capital that is proficient in tech or at least familiar in tech. We're also talking about how businesses are really embracing IR 4.0. One thing that I find hugely interesting is that most of the CEOs I speak to, they're all frustrated at the kind of availability, human capital availability that is in the market. And even if they found the right one, it's always about the pricing. It's either priced too high or really out of their reach. And at the same time, we look at the Dawson report every quarter or every month, and we see how the numbers of unemployment is rising steadily. And this is further exacerbated when youth unemployment is reaching record highs right now. There is something critically wrong into how we train our human talent. Do you feel that this is the case? How else do you think is going to be further explained in this whole mismatch of companies needing people and people don't have jobs?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I think when we do the market research and we understand, we speak to a lot of employers, we always said about the shortage of talent. I think there is definitely a mismatch where, you know, the talent we are producing and the expectations from these multinational companies when they come and invest. There is definitely a more need of training the talent. So the employer expectation, especially the international MNCs companies, when they come and make investment, they have higher expectations. So sometimes we see there is the talent that we produce in the country may not be very much ready to meet the international MNC global expectations. However, there are a lot of companies that continuously investing in training fresh graduates, you know, taking employees, giving them different level of trainings. There's no doubt in some industries like manufacturing, technology, or banking and financial services, we have relied a lot more on experts as well for niche expertise. And now, from last 2 years, were all these travel bans that we, the country, couldn't bring in a lot of expats from overseas. So the shortage of talent has significantly increased. When we talk about unemployment, there are two reasons. Of course, there's a mismatch where talents do not meet the expectations of what the international or MNC companies are expecting. And the other, one of the reasons we see that unemployment has increased in the last 2 years, a lot of companies had plans for expansion and hired a lot of people in the last 2 years, but they had to put that into a back burner until they see that the market is recovering. They could go back to the offices. They could, you know, roll out the expansion strategies they had, which we will see that coming probably in the first quarter next year. We can already see some reflection now itself as there's more jobs coming out in the market. But we see that unemployment ratio, it eventually will decrease as, you know, it would go back again to the same which we had pre-pandemic, post-pandemic.
Pre and post-pandemic, sorry. We want to talk a lot more about the kind of environment that could be improved, not just about the wants of the employers and, of course, the skills that the prospecting employees have. I want to touch a little bit more about freedom of movement for people to move in and out of markets. I also want to talk about the prospects of the job market being a little bit more fluid in this region. But it's very hard to do this without getting into politics, without getting into the kind of trans-border relationships that, say, for instance, Malaysia has with our neighbours or ASEAN has as a policy. These are macroeconomic and macro-political items that needs time to be resolved. And if it is resolved, I can't see anything but upside for everybody involved. Do you share this kind of view?
I think it's hard to comment on this, but I mean, just what we are seeing right now, different countries have taken a different approach during the pandemic time. And I think Malaysia heavily rely on international investments, you know, inviting business leaders from different parts of the world and making this place as more of investment-friendly environment, which we see the new government is putting all these policies, their plan in place. There are more discussions about, inviting all these investors back again as we used to have before pandemic. I do see that there's going to be a lot more business activities happening as the travel opens up, but it is still in more of a discussion stage. We haven't reached to that, before pandemic situations yet.
All right. We'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with Randstad Malaysia. Welcome back. This is Notepad. We're talking with Randstad Malaysia and their annual report that features a market overview as well as an industry-specific in-depth talent analysis and new post-pandemic salary benchmarks. And of course, everybody is concerned about their salary. We will talk about the great resignation that is currently happening in the US and perhaps in some other areas as well as in Malaysia. But Fahad, let's talk a little bit more about the jobs salary outlook. Are we looking at an area where some industries might be seeing an increase, but others might even see a decline in terms of market expectations of salaries?
Yep, I think this is one of the questions that we've been asked a lot of time recently from different employers. The fact is, with different findings that we had from different reports, many people have either chosen to stay with the employer over this entire course of pandemic or settle with one during pandemic for income security or job security. So that, you know, that pent-up energy will drive this next year, as market recovers from pandemic. So employees may also be motivated to kind of earn new job, especially if they had a plan to change the job before lockdown and they want to take advantage with this new job opportunities once the market or business recover next year, you know, as with full operations. So more employers will be hiring new talent that will eventually have more jobs in the market. And companies will be facing a lot of attrition too, because as many companies should feel compelled to adjust their salaries as the labor market shift to become more candidate-driven. As we already talked about the candidate-shortened market, and once the full market bounce back next year, people who have delayed their plan of changing jobs, they will be all back in the market. So having said that, the employer branding research that we conduct every year, despite pandemic, 72% of the respondents said that they still see as, one of the most attractive EVP factor to seek for a new employer is attractive salary and benefit. So I think it's time for companies to kind of really, they should lift all the salary and bonuses freeze and revise the salary to match the post-pandemic trend, which is probably we see that coming next year.
Yeah, see, that's the another macro trend that I really want to talk about because, people accuse me of being a socialist because I want more salary to be increased. I feel that companies need to, think about what the kind of solutions that they can bring, not just about the profitability and the bottom line, but perhaps their relationship with the society and perhaps embrace ESG. Do you feel that there is an outlook perspective of how companies can perhaps pay more, especially companies that want growth for next year?
I think what companies, a lot of companies have realized that losing an employee, rehiring, training them again for the skill set, that somebody was performing in the job, it is a bigger loss than even giving compared to giving someone a salary increment. So I think it is time for companies to look in the market where if you have employees who are exploring, looking out, and if you have gone through attrition, you might need to look into the market outlook and really see what are the other competitors are offering. What is the standard market salaries? And then you have to try to match the expectation. If companies do not do that, they will eventually see that there's going to be a lot of attrition coming anytime soon.
And of course, one other area that I want to talk about is, of course, not just the growth areas of IT or tech and manufacturing and FMCG. We're also talking about brick and mortar businesses, mom and pop businesses that might be, overlooked, but I think that these are the kind of businesses that we really need to keep an eye out for because they, collectively form 80-90% of our employees. And do you feel that this is an area that we should really also talk about a lot of time when it comes to how to make them more productive and more visible for next year moving forward?
I couldn't catch which industry were you specifying to.
I'm talking about the mom and pop shop. I'm talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about the SME.
Yep, I think there's an overall change into consumer behavior, right? Shifting from primary offline to now hybrid, right? So there's more access to a wider range of goods and services from anywhere with supporting financial services as well. So I think all industries are going through this shift now itself. So regardless of industry, every employer will have to look into, how they're going to accommodate with this new high demand and supply challenges that most of the industries are facing right now.
All right. One more short break before we continue our conversation with Fahd Naeem. Welcome back. On the line with us is Fahd Naeem, the Head of Operations at Randstad Malaysia. Fahd, two areas that I want to touch before we conclude our conversation. The first is, of course, the Great Resignation that is currently happening in the US and elsewhere. Where are we on that? And the second, of course, is on the skill sets that employees might want to think about improving on. And perhaps it's not necessarily about technical, but more social and communications and areas where robots can't perhaps do well in. So let's talk a little bit more about the Great Resignation that is happening in the US. Do you feel that that might have a knock-on effect on other places, including that of Malaysia?
It is definitely. I think it's the same, as I said, after pandemic, the sentiment is everybody wants to go out, everybody wants to have a change of environment. And I think that is exactly what all employees are feeling as well. If companies are failed to bring back this inclusive culture that they used to have before pandemic, this is going to be the same situation in all the countries. So not surprised with what's happening in US, which eventually we will see that happening to some extent in the APEC or Southeast Asian countries as well. And when you addressed about human touch or a lot of jobs which can't be done by robots. That's true. I think there's a lot more discussions about 4.0, digital transformations, everything moving online. We are talking about hybrid work. But human touch is not going to disappear. I think there's still a demand of more personalized services. And companies will have to create this inclusive culture regardless of, you know, people are working remotely or a lot of things are done digitally where you do not need much of a human interaction. But we will see that at some point, people will be needing more personal touch and more face-to-face interaction with people. So I think that robots or 4.0 will not be able to fill all the gaps that we have in the market now.
And of course, collaboration and working together is going to be a little bit different. Here in a radio, in a TV station, or actually Astra has a radio station as well, we've been working remotely for the past 2 years, and we've come to realize that while, you know, working together closely could actually improve on the collaboration, creativity, the dynamic of team members, and perhaps including improving of communications, we can actually pull off things even if we work remotely. And of course, our sector involves communications and interaction between one another, but other sectors might not necessarily have the necessary requirements that we do. Do you feel that working is going to be different? Do you feel that office space is going to be an issue? And of course, where do you see 2022 is going to shape up when it comes to in the form of in continuation with us working remotely or hybrid or fully back in the office? What's the future lie, in your opinion?
Yep. The future is different than what we saw before the pandemic. And you are 100% right. It's we still need face-to-face interaction for collaboration. You know, people, majority of the companies, I think most of the companies we have spoken to, they're all talking about the future of work is hybrid. It's not going to be a full-time 9-to-5, 9-to-6 job in the offices. I see that the four walls or office, a physical environment, will be used more for collaboration, but work will be happening while you are, you know, probably sitting in your comfort zone at your home or somewhere else. You know, there's a lot of discussions about, you know, if we are talking about full remote work or hybrid environment, how are we going to create this inclusive culture that everyone feels become a, you know, feeling a part of being an feeling as they are part of one of the organizations or feeling that it belongs to some organizations or are part of the group. There's a lot of studies that have been done. We have released one of the report, which is called Future of Work, which talks a lot about the best practices that we have seen in the market before pandemic. And some of the companies have taken really good step to, you know, to really integrate this hybrid working culture. And we have shared that with a lot of our clients, and which is probably out on our website as well. If anybody is interested, they could go and have a look on that one. But again, future of work is hybrid. We're not going to go back again to the same old, you know, the previous time of before COVID, 9-to-5, all day in the office. People are doing extra hours. Everyone expects flexibility now. Flexibility should not be forced as what we were given during pandemic time, but it should be a part of a benefit that employers should be offering.
You know, you touched on a very interesting part just now in your response. We're looking for task completers and people that can conclude certain projects. This can be done remotely or hybrid, but culture, corporate culture, one that might not be tangible for us to see, is actually permeating very well pre-pandemic. A lot of companies that I speak to have distinct cultures, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but culture still. Do you feel that this is going to be missing? We're going to have plenty of task completers, but not much of corporate culture to speak of.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right on this, where we can't have the culture that we used to have before pandemic, right? You had this physical environment, the relationship building, connection with people. It happens during while you're having a cup of coffee in pantry. You know, you chit chat 5 minutes, 10 minutes with someone, and then you build the connection with them. And the culture is all about people, right? Interactions, the communications, and all that. We talk a lot more about how to integrate, you know, our business into hybrid culture. There is a need of creating a new hybrid culture. That is, you could continue a lot of your business rituals online as well. You could have all these events, celebrations, awards, or, you know, get together, Christmas or Hari Raya celebrations and all that, where you could get people to come together and celebrate. There, there is a need of creating the hybrid culture, but you know, you don't might need to get rid of all the things that you had in the past. So as I said, there's a lot of studies that's been done. A lot of companies are still trying, testing, and see what works, what doesn't work. But if anyone is hoping that we might go back again to the same way how we used to do things back before pandemic, sorry to say, it's not happening. So, you know, it's a need for adopting the change and find the best what works for your business.
Thank you very much. Very conclusive kind of conversation, but at the same time, you know, a lot of business owners and perhaps even workers kind of expect that this would be it, and getting it from somebody like Randstad to affirm these kind of suspicions that we already have further reinvigorates our options of you know, moving forward for 2022. Fahad, I wish you all the best, and really this is going to be an interesting year for us. I believe that because of all of us being vaccinated and so on, I don't see us going to another MCO. And of course, everybody's very agitated to try to restart the economy, restart their business, restart their careers. And of course, everybody's hoping for the best as well. That was Fahad Naim, the Head of Operations at Randstad Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad or look for Randstad. That's R-A-N-D, Stad, S-T-A-D. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.